Turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah, chapter 1. If you need a Bible this morning, my hope is there should be one there in the chair in front of you. They're the red colored ones. The blue ones are the songbooks. The red ones are the Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible this morning, that's okay. Just grab one of those and you can follow along as we go through the Bible. Now, if for those of you who are guests with us this morning, when we have church and we open the Word of God, we are now in the most important part of the service because we have opened God's holy Word. And so when we teach and preach the Bible, what we're doing is we're saying God's Word. And so when that happens, there's a chance that God might touch your heart. He might work in you. And that's our hope. That's our desire. This morning, it might be that you came, you showed up, and we're so happy and pleased that you're here. And you came as a result of an invitation. You came as a result of maybe just waking up and thinking, you know what, I need to go to church this morning. And I'm pleased to hear that. I'm thankful for that. But what you need, what you truly need, you can only find it in this book. You can find it here, as God works through His Word to touch your heart. But you have to have a heart that's willing to receive it. You have to have a heart that's open and that says, you know what? I need to hear from God today. And so we're going to read the Word, and we're going to pray one more time, and we're going to get into our message. We're going to read all of chapter 1. So just remain seated. 17 verses. Jonah chapter 1. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." It's pretty amazing, right? The man of God was called of God to deliver the message of God, and he said, no thanks. So this morning, if you have ran from God or if you're running from God, you're in company with Jonah, who is also running from God. The Bible says, "The Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the ship, into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lot, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And he said unto them, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? And what is thy country, and what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? And the sea roared and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so that the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. By the way, can I say that your sin isn't going to just affect you? You might think that you can sin and you can do what you want to do in life and it won't affect anyone but you, but that's not true. Your sin does affect others in your life, and the people that you love are affected by your sins. That's what's happening here. Verse 13, Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. And that reminds me that you can fight against God, and you can fight against God, and you can fight against God, but you know what you're fighting? A losing battle. It's a miserable life to fight God. Verse 14, Therefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. for thou, O Lord, hast done as it has pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. The men feared the Lord exceedingly and opposed and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That first part of that verse, it says, the Lord had prepared a great fish. The Lord prepared a great fish. And with that, do you know what the message God was saying? Jonah, you got to go to Nineveh. Because there's no other way. There's no other way. And that's true today. There's one way. There's no other way. We need to hear that. Father, I pray your blessings. We need to hear from you through the story, this powerful story of this man Jonah. The prophet of God who, even as the man of God, called to deliver the message, ran from you. It's a powerful message that so often can happen in our lives truly. And it might be that somebody is here today and they, if they were honest, they would have to admit they are running from you. And they have found themselves here this morning by way of invitation or by way of being dragged here or however it is that they've come. Lord, they're here. And now they need to hear from you. We need to hear from you. This is your word, your message, and we're your people. I pray your touch. Find us this morning. We need to be found. Seek us. Find us. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Amen. The prophet Jonah ran from God because he had great national pride. He loved his nation. He was a Hebrew. The Bible says that he was the son of Amittai, which means that he understood the importance of family connection. Now, for a Hebrew, the purity of their nation was of utmost importance. The line and lineage. You read through the Bible, and you might find in some cases that there is this list of names. Now, you probably can't pronounce 99% of them, and the 1% that you think you pronounced right, you probably got it wrong anyway. And that you read all those names, and you think, why is this in the Bible? Why does this even matter? I can't even say these names. It matters because line and lineage was so important to the Hebrew nation to protect the nation. Now, it wasn't a racial issue. It wasn't like they were just trying to protect their race of people. And so there was this tension, racially speaking. Although there were those times and those cases, this would have been important for the Hebrews because of the God whom they wanted to preserve the worship of. They worshiped the true and living God. Jonah even understood that. These men on the ship, they were heathens, we would say. These men didn't know the true God. They had never known the true God. And so when Jonah said, I am the servant of the true living God, Jonah understood who he was, and he had great national pride. He served as the prophet of God, which means his job was to deliver the message. I mean, there's sort of that joke where the pastor, he works, you know, one day a week on Sundays, or maybe 2 days a week, Sunday and Wednesday. It's a little bit more than that. Jonah was the man of God, the prophet of God. It was his job to get the message from God and to deliver it to God's people. And so God came to him and gave him a message. The message was to go to the people of Nineveh and to preach the gospel of God's judgment. Now, why is that the gospel? We'll talk about that in a minute. But he didn't want to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was an awful place. Nineveh was a place that was really the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians were the Gentile nation that has caused Israel much suffering through the centuries. And they were a brutal people. They were an awful people. They were a sinful and idolatrous people, persistent, relentless in their sins. And that's how Jonah knew them. The suffering that was at the hand of this nation or this empire, the Assyrians. And so God came to Nineveh, or rather to Jonah, and told him to go and to pronounce judgment or doom to the nation, to the city of Nineveh. Now, why would Jonah not want to do that? That's precisely what he would have wanted them to receive, is judgment, right? But what Jonah was meant to do was to go and tell them the message of judgment, to give them the warning about the judgment. Now, what did that have, you know, connected to it? Well, it always had connected to it a form of the mercy of God. Now, that's what Jonah was nervous about. He didn't want God's mercy to fall on the Ninevite people, the Assyrian nation. This great, the Bible says that the city of Nineveh was a great city. Now, why was it great? Because it had great people in it? No. This was a sinful, an awful place, a brutal people. So great wasn't describing their character. Great was describing the amount of people that were there. There was a city called Kana that was south of, that was a historic city south of Nineveh that was said to have had 70,000 people, and it was much smaller than Nineveh. So great would have meant there was a lot of people there. It was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, which was meant where the Assyrian emperors and kings ruled from this capital often, is what the case was. So Jonah was supposed to go and deliver the message of God's judgment to a nation, to a city that was full of what was considered the nation of Israel's enemy. And with that message would have been the possibility of God's mercy. He didn't want God's mercy. He appreciated God's wrath, but he knew that God was compassionate. And Jonah was not compassionate. Jonah was not desirous of mercy on the Assyrian nation. So when God said, go to the Ninevites, Jonah got on a ship and headed to Tarshish, which is the absolute opposite direction of where God is leading him to go. Now, it is true that we can, like Jonah, run from God. It is true that God could be working in our hearts, speaking to our hearts, touching our hearts, trying to get us to make a change or get us to understand a truth, to get us to receive a message from Him. But all the time He's working in your heart and He's been working in your life and touching you, that just like Jonah, you can say, we can say, no, thank you, God. I'm not interested in what you're doing. I'm not interested in this message. I don't believe this. I don't want this. I don't want this direction. And we can kick and we can fight and we can go against God. And God's leading us this way, but we can go that way. It is true that happens in Jonah. It is true that it happens today in our lives. And it would be foolish for me, as a pastor and a deliverer of the message of God, just like Jonah was called of God, God has called my life. He has called me to be a messenger of His message. This message isn't my message. This is God's message. And so it would be foolish of me this morning to not acknowledge that it might be that you're running from God. That you're here this morning, but you, in your heart, you're not here. You're in Tarshish. God has been working and knocking and prying and touching and pricking you. And you've been saying, no, I don't want to do this. No, I don't want that path. No, I don't want to give this up. No, I don't want to do that. And you can do that. Did you know that God's not going to make you turn your heart to Him? You know, I said earlier, maybe you got dragged to church. Our kid, the saying is, we drug our kids, right? We drug them to church. We drug them on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. So yeah, we were drugged as kids, drugged to church. And maybe you were drugged here this morning. But you find yourself here in a place where you're in the company of a man named Jonah, who didn't want what God was telling him to do, and maybe that's you. And you can do that. You can do that. But you know what you'll find just around the corner? There's a storm coming. There's a storm, and it's coming your way. God sent a violent storm. These men that were on this boat, they were seasoned sailors. They understood storms. They understood violent storms. They understood what it was to be in a boat, to be in a storm on the sea, and to deal with that. They had been through this. But the storm that they were experiencing in this time, it wasn't the kind of storm that they had been used to in the past. This was a kind of storm that was very obviously a storm that was divine, meaning from God. God was stirring the waters. God had made things miserable. God had got involved with doing what was happening in the roughness of the seas that they were on. God was doing it. And they recognized that. Well, how do we know that? Because they started crying out to their own gods, little g. The gods that they knew of, the Assyrian gods, the pagan gods, the gods like Baal, who did, remember the prophets of Baal, who cried and they cut themselves and they did all these chants and dances and music and songs, all this stuff, and they couldn't get the attention of God. And then Elijah cried out one prayer and the fire of God came down. And they are crying out to their little g gods. No response. No response. No response. Jonah, lethargic. Jonah, the perpetrator, asleep, careless of his actions and how detrimental it has been to the people in his life around him, bringing deadly destruction to all the others in the boat, but himself sleeping, careless about what he's done. Wakest thou, sleeper? Don't you realize we're on the verge of death here? And we're talking about seasoned sailors who knew tempestuous storms, and they're saying that we're on the verge of death. You know the ship is about to break apart. You need to cry out to your God. And after a series of, you know, events, what happened is they found out that this was from God, and then they learned that this was from Jonah. This was as a result of the decision that Jonah had made, and God has led him to go somewhere. And Jonah said, I'm not interested in going where God is telling me to go. I'm interested in getting on a boat and going the opposite direction. And they knew that it was him. Why? Because he told them. He reported this earlier on. And they found out, this is Jonah. It was you that did this. And they did their best to not have to throw him over the boat. They said, what are we going to do? He said, throw me over. So, well, we don't want to do that. They tried and tried, but realized, you know what? There's no other way. There's no other way. We got to throw him off. So the Bible says they threw him off the boat. And he hit the water. The Bible says, listen to this. Ooh, this is amazing. He hit the water. The Bible says the storm stopped. Some of you need some storms to stop, don't you? You need some storms in life to calm down a little bit. Been pretty crazy. You know, the quickest way to calm the storms that you're feeling in life is just get yourself back on God's path. Amen? Get yourself back on God's path. The storms stopped. Jonah hit the water. What do you think he was expecting? Well, you know, he was ready for a whale to swallow him. I submit to you this morning that Jonah, when he hit the water, he was expecting to drown. And you know what else he was hoping for? To drown. He didn't. That's how desperately he didn't want to go in obedience to Nineveh. He would have rather have died. Throw me over the boat. Hit the water. But the Bible says in verse 17, don't miss this, God had prepared a great fish. God prepared a fish. God had prepared a fish to get a hold of Jonah. So he's in the belly of this fish, the Bible says, 3 days and three nights. All of chapter 2 explains the transformation of Jonah's heart. When, while in this, whale, God is stirring and working in him and changing him and getting a hold of him. And finally, Jonah says, I need to be what God wants me to be. I'm tired of running from God. I'm tired of fighting God. And the Bible says that he repented. He repented. Turned his heart back to the Lord. The Bible says, now you're ready. God said, now you're ready. Spit him up, threw him up onto dry land. And as soon as Jonah hit the land, God gave him the message again. Go to Nineveh and preach to this wicked people the judgment of God is coming. Jonah hightailed it to Nineveh. I mean, he booked it. Made his way to Nineveh and began to preach the message to this wicked people. As a prophet of God, I would guess that he probably, Brother Bruce, wasn't too compassionate while he was delivering the message. As a pastor, you know, I want to be filled with compassion like Jesus, you know? I want that. I deeply want that. You know, there were times when Jesus went into the temple and flipped the tables, though, right? I mean, he probably wasn't being real nice in those times. Sometimes Paul was pretty blunt when he delivered the message. And Jesus was blunt when he delivered the message. And Peter was blunt when he delivered the message. And you know what Jonah likely was when he landed in Nineveh? He was pretty blunt. Not caring too much about the feelings of the people he's delivering his message to. Gives the message. You're wicked. You're a wicked people. And God's judgment is going to fall on you in 40 days. God's judgment is going to fall on you. You're going to be destroyed at the hand of God, and you've got 40 days. And he preached that for a few days, and then he got out of town. And he's like, okay, I did it. I'm out of here. I told them what they needed to hear. I gave them the message. You know, then the Bible didn't say he went home. He didn't go home. No. He knew the judgment of God was coming. And he wanted the judgment of God to come. So after he delivered the message, he left town and went to a hill, built a little booth, sat under his booth so that he had the overview of the city, waiting for the fire of God to fall down and destroy the city whom he wanted destroyed. That's what he did. He didn't go home. He went to a place where he could see God destroy the city. And then he just waited. He waited for several days, didn't he? For a few weeks. But you know what happened in the process of his wait? Hopeful for the judgment of God to go ahead and fall down on the nation of, or the city of Nineveh. Do you know what happened? They repented. The one reason why Jonah got on a boat to go to Tarshish, the one reason he didn't want to go to Nineveh was the potential that maybe they would repent. So the Bible says that after hearing the message of God's judgment, realizing that their sins was bringing God's judgment down on them, and hearing the message, the Bible says that they repented in their hearts, the Bible says, with sackcloth and ashes, which is, sackcloth is just like a thick piece of goat hair, and they would put goat skin in here, and they'd put this over them. And ashes, just like wood ash, and they would sprinkle this on themselves. And it was a picture, note this, it was a picture of repentance. It was a picture of sorrow over their wickedness. So it was as though they heard the message of God's judgment, and they said, we're sorry for our sins. And we acknowledge that we've been sinful, and we acknowledge that God's judgment is falling on us, and we are demonstrating our repentance of our sins and turning ourselves to the true and living God. And with that repentance, listen to this, God's judgment didn't fall on this nation. They were spared. Amazing, right? That this awful, wicked people could be spared. Have you wondered sometimes how God could save some people? Have you wondered sometimes how God could forgive you? How could God forgive me for what I have done? And then we read this story of a wicked people of Nineveh who did not hear, in my opinion, a compassionate message from a man named Jonah, but just a blunt message of judgment. Repented and God spared them. Repented and turned their hearts to God, and God spared them from the judgment. Jonah's on this hill waiting for the judgment, and the time for it came, the time for it passed, and God didn't judge this nation. And there Jonah is, listen, there he is, he's on the hill under his little canopy, and he's in his heart angry, filled with bitter anger. Why? Because God spared this evil people. He was angry about it. God says, Jonah, do you have a right? You feel like you have a right to be angry about what I have done? You feel that you have a right to be angry about what I am doing? Jonah, you feel like you have a right to be angry about how I work? I'm going to show you something. God then grew a gourd out of the ground. The Bible says the sun was beating. The Middle Eastern sun, the desert sun, beating down on Jonah. He was burning and he was hot with that heat. And the Bible says that God prepared a gourd that gave shade to Jonah. And the Bible then says that Jonah was thankful for the shade. He was thankful. The very next verse, the Bible says that God prepared a worm that ate the gourd that God prepared, and it withered away, and Jonah was angry about the worm. The message was, Jonah, I think that you forget something. This work that's being accomplished through the message that I called you to deliver, it's not your work.
Right.
It's not your message. It's not your way. It's my way. Look at chapter 4. Actually, yes, look at chapter 4, verse 6. Can't miss this. Verse 6, ready? And the Lord God prepared a gourd. Look at verse 7. But God prepared a worm. Go back to chapter 1, verse 17. Chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. Do you know what God was saying? God had prepared a way. God had prepared a way. And here's the problem. The way that God prepared, it wasn't Jonah's way. Jonah wanted it his way. And God said, listen, Jonah, it's not your way. It's my way. And I have prepared a way. And the way is that you go to Nineveh and you deliver the message to the people that I have called you to deliver the message to. And I'm going to give them a chance.
Amen.
And with that chance, they can be delivered. They can be spared. Watch this. They can be saved.
Right.
And it's not your way. Yeah. It's my way. That's true today. It's the same today. Listen to these words. You can't, if you don't get this, you're missing the whole message. And you're going to miss the way that God has prepared for you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 has given us, don't turn there, it's given us a powerful truth about the end times, about the judgment of God that's coming on every person who has not turned their heart to Jesus. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? It means that not everybody's going to go to heaven. And Jesus said that. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That should get your attention, because you might be on the not everyone side. Many will say, many, that's a key word in what Jesus is saying here. Many means there's a lot of people who are going to say this. Saying to me in that day, Jesus says, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, Lord means that they're standing before Jesus on judgment day. They're standing before him, being judged. And they're saying, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I talked about you. I prayed. Maybe you prayed this morning. And you say, well, I prayed. And I pray all the time. God surely will let me into heaven. God says, on that day, there's going to be many who are going to say, Lord, Lord, I prophesied, I prayed, I talked about you, I preached your word, I read your word, I knew of you in this way. Many will say unto him in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't I prophesied? Many will say, he goes on, in thy name cast out devils. And so there are people who have done the works of God. Casting out devils isn't some always just mystical thing where we have this exorcism and somebody is filled with a demon or something, and then that demon is exorcised, as we see on the movies and all this Hollywood manufactured stuff. No. Casting out devils is whenever you are helping people turn their lives to God. And maybe this morning you have invited somebody to come to Friend Day, and I'm so proud of you, and I'm so thankful for that for you. And maybe somebody you have invited, and they came, and God delivered them. He brought salvation to them. He spoke to them, and they were touched by the Spirit of God, and they turned their heart in repentance to the Lord Jesus, and they were saved, and you helped cast somebody's demon out of their life. But that doesn't mean you're saved. And maybe this morning you helped a lot of people come to God, or you're pointing people to God. That doesn't mean you have Him. Many will say unto me that in that day, Jesus says. He goes on and he says, and in that day, many will say, and in thy name, I've done many wonderful works. Many wonderful works. That's the plea. And you'll stand before God one day relying on your outward works, your outward religion, your outward exercises, the things that you have done. And you'll stand before God, and you're relying on that to get you to heaven, and you'll be in this number. But Jesus will say, I'll profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you doesn't mean he doesn't know who you are, Bruce. He knows your name. Is there anybody that God doesn't know who they are? No. That's not saying that God doesn't know who you are. When Jesus says, I never knew you, it's talking about intimately. He doesn't know you personally. You don't have a relationship with him. That's why he calls it being born again. It's a spiritual birth. It's not something that's manufactured through some exercise. It's the conviction and touch of God. You need to be saved. You are a sinner. God's judgment is falling on you, and you have an allotted amount of time to repent and turn your heart to God. And in this time, if you don't repent, if you don't turn your heart to God, on that day, you'll stand before Him, and you will be judged. And God will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now listen close to these words, because this is where it's at. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Grace is a gift. A gift doesn't come with a bill. A gift doesn't come with a list of requirements. A gift doesn't come with fill in the blanks. A gift is something that can be received. Grace is a gift. You either receive it or you don't receive it. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why is this important? Because there's no other way. You say, Pastor, I don't like this message. Jonah didn't like it for the Ninevites either. There's no other way. This is the message. This is it. There's no other message. There's no other way. This is the one. There are many people who think that they're going to have time after they die. Can I encourage you about something? Purgatory is not real. It is not a real place. People do not go to purgatory because it doesn't exist. You read the Bible, you study the Bible, here's what you'll find. That people, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if you're saved. To be absent from the body means your soul is separated from your body. Your body goes to the grave, your soul goes somewhere else. The Bible says the rich man opened his eye, he lifted his eyes in hell. That's it. It's heaven, it's hell. There's no third. There's no other place. People handle their need of salvation in different ways. Sometimes people just ignore it, pretend like being uninterested, pretend that it doesn't matter. You just try to fight it and try to, no, don't do that. Hey, listen, I did that. I knew God was working in my heart. I knew He was speaking to me, and I know that this happens, that we sit in the chair and we sit in the pew and God's trying to get your attention. You better listen. You better listen. You better listen. You need this. This message is for you. This message is for you. And we say to ourselves, I don't know. We just try to drown it out, make noise in our mind and make noise in our soul so we don't hear the voice and the message of God. And He's trying to break through to you. But you deal with that need by just trying to ignore it. Pretend it doesn't matter. Hope the evolutionists are right. Believe religious works, good deeds will get you there. Sacraments, confirmation, penance, Eucharist, communion, the body and the blood, last rites, just relying on baptism, second blessing, speaking with tongues, miracles, etc., etc. None of these are even a part of your salvation. They are a works-based salvation. You cannot be saved by outward works. Religious actions and rites, good deeds, do not save you. They never will. They never have. You know, Jonah didn't go to Nineveh and give them the sacraments. He gave them the message. The judgment of God is coming, and you can repent or you cannot repent. Repentance is in the heart. You can trust in any of these things, but you will be in that number on the judgment who will stand before God, who's saying, Lord, Lord, look at all these things that I've done. And God says, I don't know you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You need salvation in your heart. You need the prick of God. That God says that salvation is something that He's doing in you. He said that to the woman at the well. The water, the living water, wasn't a water of baptism. Brayson, you're going to get baptized. That's not going to save you. Salvation is something that's already in you. You're getting baptized because God already did it in you. Jonah was a sign. Did you know Jonah, the whole story of Jonah was a sign for us? Luke 11, turn there. You lose your place in Jonah. We're going to be done here in just a minute. Luke 11, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's in the New Testament. Luke chapter 11, verse 30. This is Jesus talking. Let's begin at verse 29. When the people were gathered together to begin to say, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign. There shall no sign be given but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Jonah was a sign. How was he a sign? You're a sinner. You're a sinner this morning. You're Nineveh. You're Nineveh. Christ is the Savior. Jonah was the sign. Jonah was the Savior. Don't you see it? Without Jonah, they had no hope. Without the message, there was no message. There was no hope for the Ninevites. They were lost. 40 days, they were judged. It was over. Without Jonah, there was no other way. God says, I prepared a way. And it's you. And through you, this people are going to be saved. Jonah delivered the message and they were saved. And it's true for us today. Salvation is in Him. As He touches your heart, pricks you, and you say, I need salvation, and there's no other way. He wants to show you mercy. Why did God send Jonah to Nineveh? Why? Because He wanted to show them mercy. He didn't want them to be destroyed. Jonah wanted them destroyed. God didn't. God doesn't want you destroyed. He wants you to be saved. Did you know that's why God sent a man to Fall City? This isn't an arrogance. This isn't some kind of an ego trip. Nuh-uh. God sent a man to Fall City just like God sent a man to Nineveh to give you a chance. And you're here. And you're getting it. Now it's up to you. The message has been delivered. If you've relied on any of these other things to get you there, you're not getting there. Salvation is in Christ. You must be born again. He said that multiple times to Nicodemus. He said to the woman at the well, it's a spring of living water that springs up in you unto everlasting life. Salvation is in you. It's not outward, it's inward. It's an issue of the heart. You are Nineveh. You're Nineveh. Did you know that you had a friend who was the messenger of God? Your friend brought the message to you. You need to come to church on Friend Day. Your friend brought you to hear the gospel. The good news of salvation, and here's the point, there's no other way. I'm so blessed you're here. But now it's up to you whether you'll receive it or not. I moved here 10 years ago. It's crazy, right? 10 years. So happy. Hopefully 20, 30 more. I don't know how old I'll be. I don't know. Hopefully the rest of my time, right? On this earth. That's what I hope. 10 years. Almost 10 years ago. I hadn't been here a month, 2 months. One of the men of the church said, hey, pastor, I have a friend. He's in the hospital. He's dying. Would you go visit him? And now I'm there. What's his name? His name's Chris. Chris Beer. Went into the hospital. Chris was laying in the bed, gasping for life. Just, I could tell every breath he was suffering and struggling just to stay alive. As soon as I walked into that room, I knew this is serious. He's close. Walked up to him. I introduced myself. I said, I'm pastor of the Baptist Church. I said, Chris, I'd like to tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Would you like me to do that? He says, that's all I want. Because he struggled just to get the words out. That's all I want. And it was like, pastor, get going. I want to hear it. We don't have time. Don't mess around. Get to the point. And I did. Went right to the scriptures. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you understand, Paul said this in Romans 10. He told us exactly how to get saved. It's not complicated. Confess with your mouth. Confess. When you confess to God, it's something that implies God is touched and working in your heart. Confess with the mouth of the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I gave him the message. I said, Chris, would you like to ask the Lord to save you? He said, I want that. I helped him to pray. I didn't want to put words in his mouth because I can't get saved for somebody else, but I helped him to pray. And as he was praying and I was praying, as he finished his prayer, he started to weep. Oh man, what's wrong? What's wrong, Chris? Are you okay? He says, no, pastor, these are tears of joy. 5 days later, he died. You know what? God gives us an opportunity, even when we're that close to leaving this life, to know the judgment is coming. And whether or not you have 80 years to go or whether or not you have 5 days to go, God's giving you a chance. My hope is that this morning that you'll understand God's prepared a way and there's no other way. Father, this morning we're grateful to be in your house, and Lord, it might be that somebody has heard the message and they need to be saved. And they've been fighting it, struggling and fighting. I want them to be saved. You want them to be saved. That's why we're here. God, would you continue to do that work? Give them courage. just to admit it. And then maybe even this morning would be the morning that they would say, I'm going to get it taken care of. I'm coming. I'm going to get it settled. Today is the day of salvation. Give them courage, please. Every head's bowed. Nobody's looking around. Before the piano plays, nobody's looking, so don't be embarrassed. I won't call you out. I won't say your name. I'll just pray for you. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Will you pray for me? If you'll lift your hand, I'll pray for you. Just lift it, and I'll pray for you. Lift your hand, I'll pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Will you pray for me? I've been relying on these things. God's touched my heart. I need to be saved. Is there anybody? Just lift your hand. I'll pray. Thank you. Anybody else? Just take courage. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Thank you for being honest. Thank you for taking courage. I'm certain there's others. Just take courage. I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you. Just lift your hand. Won't you do that? Pastor, I need to be saved. Will you pray for me? Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Take courage. I'll pray for you. Anybody? Let me even pray for you now. Father, I pray for these that lifted their hand, perhaps some who should have, needed to, really lift their hand, but they didn't. Would you give them courage this morning to come and get it settled? Thank you for this great privilege to be able to share the gospel. Thank you for the message of Jesus and salvation in the heart. I pray that you'd work in the hearts of those who need to be saved. I give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.